all of you that are staying up with the weekly readings, you'll be glad to know that Brother Joe read one of the chapters that is in the assignment for this week. But I love Psalms chapter 24, and there's a particular reason that I love it. There's so many written truths that are in the Psalms. I don't know how many of you noticed this, but it says in Psalms chapter 24, verse 2, "For he hath founded it upon the seas." What has he founded upon the seas? The earth. And so a lot of people don't understand that even the oceans, you know, I've had so many people say, "Well, what are we going to do if all the ice caps melt? And you know, now we're going to have all this flooding." I said, "Do you realize that the earth itself floats on the, on the land?" I mean, it's all understood. In another passage, it speaks of the causeway. How that the Lord has natural causeways that in times of flood, the waters go back to those causeways. I don't know how many of y'all also noticed that in Psalms chapter 24, verses 7 and 8, speak of, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, wherein you have everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Well, that was actually used in Handel's Messiah. And, in the old Brahmin hymnal is part of the Handel's Messiah. And it really takes these two verses, and 7 and 8, and brings them to life as well. Just something to think about, that even in the music that we hold to, there is a joy in knowing the things of God in a very real way. Well, let me say this to each and every one of you all today. I hope that you have a beautiful, happy Mother's Day. You know, we have all the flowers and things that are there beautifully done. We have the electronics that brings the colorful flowers to life. These don't die. Where the ones that we can give you will actually don't last too long unless they're plastic. But, you know, more than anything, Mother's Day is something special. And let me just say this, lest I forget, that in the fellowship hall, I have something special for all of our mothers. And so all the ladies that are here, daughter and mother, I want you all to grab, yes, that means you too, Gracie. And so all of you all get to take one of those with you. And it basically, I want you to know this, is that our daughters are very special to us. And in fact, I have not titled today's sermon as about motherhood, but I went Ode to Womanhood. Ode to Womanhood. Let's take our Bibles this morning. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 4. And in 2 Kings chapter 4, one of the great examples that I find in the scriptures about how that a woman should act in the things of God is set before us today. And so we'll go down to verse 8, and we're talking about the prophet Elisha as he went forward, into this place. And in fact, it's an area called Shunem. It does exist to this day. But in 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning of verse 8, we're going to read a little bit. It says, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where there was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And it was so that as oft as he passed by, he turned then thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on the day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, Call the Shulamite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful with us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king, or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when she had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at the season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he saith unto the father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him, he brought him to his mother, and he sat on her knees till noon, and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, and shut the door upon him, and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men in one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. She said, it shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said unto her servants, drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went, and she came to the man of God, to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her far off, he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shulamite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins, and take my staff in thine hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not, and if any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, if I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them, and laid the staff upon the face of the child, and there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him, and told him, saying, the child is not awaked. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead, and laid upon the bed, his bed. And he went in therefore, and shut the door upon them twain, and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child, and put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child was waxed warm. Then he answered and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call the Shulamite. So he called her, and when she was coming to him, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. Excuse me. And I do a pardon. I do ask your pardon for any mistakes I made in the reading. I love this story about the Shulamite woman, and I know that you all have heard the messages many times. And I also know that traditionally, whenever there is what we call a Mother's Day sermon, that a lot of preachers like to go to Proverbs chapter 31 and talk about how that a woman should be if she's to be a proper wife, proper mother, and so on and so forth. And yet, everywhere that I read about a virtuous woman, the question is asked, who can find her? Now, if I was to take a quiz amongst the women amongst us, and I'd say, in part of the questions, do you count yourself as a virtuous woman? I might get answers all over the table. But I got news for you. She does all the work, so her husband doesn't have to. And for those of you that want to argue that point, where do we find him but sitting at the gate, you know, making counsel with all the other men that come by? The reality is, she was a hard-working woman, and she was one that she remained diligent to the things of God. I find in this Shulamite woman an example of everything. She was diligent, she was faithful, and in fact, if you'll notice what we read here today, she was the one that she recognized in Elisha a man of God, because he came by in, you know, through Shunem all the time. And one of the things she said, you know, Turn in here. Let me make you some bread. Here's what I'd like for you to have. And so backwards and forwards, when Elisha would come, he would stop in. And she finally approached her husband and said, I perceive that this is a man of God. I want to make him a prophet's chamber. Now, if you've ever heard the term prophet's chamber, that's where this comes from. And so they took a little bed, took a little table, took a little lamp, little stool, things like that, and set up a place for this prophet to enter in. And that's what we call this. Now, the reality is, the prophet of God was so blessed by the endeavors of this woman. And it was based upon that that I wanted to share with everyone today the things that I see in the Shulamite woman that I think every one of us can also rejoice in together. You see, God hasn't designed every woman to have a mother, but I believe every godly woman has motherly traits. Let me say it again. God has not designed that every woman should be a mother, but He has given every woman, a woman of God, I believe that He has given a motherly trait. And as we look at this today, I want to show you by what we've read today where I see the standard of that should be applied in the lives of our women, and we can instill them as well as we go forward. Let us pray. Father, I want to thank You for Your blessings upon us as a congregation. And I know this, Lord, that I respect godly mothers. I want to thank You for the example that You gave in my own mother, who loved me as a tender child, who was there for me through her difficulties as well as her life, and never told me the burdens that she shared. But Lord, that she enjoyed my presence as much as my brothers and my sister, and she gave all things well into our lives. Lord, she wasn't perfect, but she was made perfect by the divineness of Your grace. She was made perfect because You redeemed her. Father, the hours that she spent with me in study, the hours she spent with me correcting me and making sure that I would become the man that I would be. Lord, the instruction, the studies, the setting together, the sharing of cup of coffee or drink together, all of those things, Lord, have made me, by Your grace, into the person that I am today. Now I ask You, Lord, to just bless that I might be able to present to the congregation this morning Your blessings and the teachings from Your Word, that I might be able to be a help to as many as are in listening. And I pray that You will guide us and that You will lead us and You will watch over us. And again, Lord, I ask You to bless in all things, for it's in Christ we pray, and amen. I want to share a story with you. And again, I have all my notes that are before me, but it does mean that they're in particular order. I remember that I was pastoring at Main Street Baptist Church in Burnside, Kentucky, and we were a blessed congregation. We had started off with a lot of young people, and of course, as is the nature, young people grow up, and they are now young adults, and they get married. And I remember looking around, we had all these young adults, but we had no babies. Well, I went up to one family, and I said, do you all want children? They go, oh, we've been trying for so long to have children, we just can't have any. And I said, well, that's really amazing. I said, and have you prayed? Well, yeah, we're praying. I said, well, I'm going to pray as well. I said, how many kids do you want? And they laughed at me, and they said, oh, we've talked about two or three. I said, we're going to have six. And they went, no, two or three will be fine. I said, no, you're going to have six. And they said, because I don't think they believed that they were going to have a baby. Well, then a couple of months, they come in and said, Brother Prater, we're expecting a baby. I said, one of six. They only had five. They didn't have six. And you know them as well. That's Scott and Mindy Coffey. Scott is the pastor of Livingstone Baptist Church. And I remember the excitement. By the way, Eden just turned 22 years of age. She doesn't look it. If you looked at Eden, you wouldn't think that she was even a teenager. She looks so young. But I remember the joy in them. And believe it or not, it opened up the floodgates. And before you know, we had this couple that were having babies and this couple, Brother Clint Keith and his wife Heather, were members of the church at the time. They ended up with two boys. And, I mean, we just had a gaggle of kids. they're all young. I said, we have a future youth group right here. And, of course, the Lord saw fit for me to move to California before they became a youth group. And I was so excited to see that they had maintained and they were continue to grow. But I bring this up because I do believe that it is in the heart of godly women to have children. Now, it doesn't mean that they will always have children. And perhaps God has closed the wounds. I knew one couple at one time that they had wanted a baby, and the doctors told him, said it's impossible. And so they tried for many years, and then they stopped trying. And after 23 years, she became very sick. And, you know, she just said, I just feel nauseated all the time. And they went to the doctor, and the doctor was checking them out. And, in fact, it was on a Monday night that I received this word, because I was we had a Monday night class that I was teaching. And the church phone rang, and I answered it. And he said, Brother Prater, he said, I'd like for you to remember my wife. I said, all right, I will. And he goes, I said, anything that I should know? He goes, we tried for many years to have a baby, and the doctor said it was impossible. Well, we're going to have a baby. And after 23 years, he and his wife became pregnant, which was Mindy's sister, by the way, who ended up having a baby. Why do I bring this? Because reality is, while we enjoy those stories, those are things that are mimicked to us in the Bible. We see Abraham and Sarah. Do you realize that Abraham followed God for many years, 25 years. He followed the Lord with the promise that the Lord God had given him, not seeing any evidences of the promise. He even went away following after the world by the recommendation of his own wife, had Ishmael, and it wasn't until after 25 years that the Lord blessed that womb of Sarah, opened up the womb of the aged one, and gave them a child which we know as Isaac. It's amazing to me where we go back in. And if you want to see another story, go read what about Isaac and Rebecca. Do you realize they didn't have children for the longest time? And finally, when she was pregnant, she had two children that struggled in her womb, Esau and Jacob. And everywhere you read, and this is what I love about the book of Genesis, it seems like it tells the story over and again of the struggle of motherhood and also getting pregnant, if you will. And the only answer I've got is this. God knows why He is not allowing our wombs to be open. And yet, out of the unexpected can come the miracle of God. Now, I look at this woman. She did not seek for motherhood. How many of y'all notice that in the story? She wasn't seeking motherhood, but she had a passion of being there and to help the minister. Many years ago, I remember that I was a young preacher up in Ohio, and I just wanted to serve the Lord. That's all there was to it. I just wanted to serve the Lord. It was a pretty good-sized congregation. We had over 100 people in the congregation. And all the jobs were taken. I remember that I called a preacher friend of mine, and I said, I really can't see any reason to be used in this church. I said, I don't see that they need me. He said, you remain there, and you be faithful, and you hold on to the Word of God, and God's going to bless you. Well, I noticed that the baptistries were in disarray. That's all that was wrong, was the baptistries were in disarray. And I put the baptistries back in order, put towels, hair dryers, things like that. I would accompany the pastor and the men on the one side, my wife on the other side. And we would take and we would hang up the whatever was necessary, the wet clothing, make sure they were ready, dry the towels, got them all ready to go. And one day the pastor looked at me and he goes, I perceive you want to be used of God. Well, I was a first. He said, I need someone to write Sunday school materials. Anyone ever wrote Sunday school materials? Not an easy thing to do. And I'm sitting there and I'm studying, and he wanted the Sunday school materials so everybody could follow along with them. So I made notes and things like that. Really made me study as well. And the reality is that pretty soon he had put me in charge of writing Sunday school materials. He came to me the next time and he said, we need somebody to lead the adult Sunday school class. Would you be interested? I said, man, I want to.
I led the Sunday school class, the adult class. Then he said, we need someone to head up the bathroom committee. Or, you know, if you've ever been to a church that has a lot of debt, somebody's got to take care of the bathroom. Someone's got to clean the building. And so I took that role on. What I'm getting at is, after a while, I got so busy, I didn't even have time to look straight. If we make ourselves available to the things of God, things are going to happen. And I really believe this woman was looking for ways to serve the Lord. So here's this Shulamite woman, and she sees Elisha come by, and she invites him in, feeds him, and sends him on his way. And she finally goes to her husband and says, I perceive this is a man of God. Why don't we make him a little chamber? Now, I think this is so beautiful when you look at this, because the fact is, she wasn't doing it to bring recognition, but she was doing it to be a blessing to this man of God. Look at verse 13. And she said unto him, say now to her, behold, thou hast been careful with us, with all that will be done for thee. Now, I bring this up because here he is, you've been very careful with us. So what do you want? She goes, I don't want anything. Look at the rest of verse 13. Wouldest thou that be spoken to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people, meaning that I'm very comfortable where I'm at. I don't need anything. This is a beautiful part that I have discovered in many, many godly women. In fact, the women of this church. They don't do things for recognition's part. They do things because they love the Lord their God. I can't tell you how many times someone says, I'm going to do this, we're going to do that, we'd like to do this, Ken, is it all right with you? I went, just do it. You don't need my permission. You know, here's the thing. A pastor is not a dictator. A pastor can only listen and say, well, what do you need for me to do? I'm afraid that we have lost the reality of what goes on into a church. A church that is excited for God will always do things for the Lord. And believe it or not, that excitement many times begins with women. Because at the end of the day, men love to do one thing, and that is, if we can, relax. But sometimes it is the charge of women that helps push and keep things moving along. And notice that he's, in verse 14, the response that Elisha then says to her, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. So Elisha doesn't know everything about this Shulamite woman. He just knows what she's done for him. But Gehazi, who is the servant, if you will, or he is the understudy to Elisha, says, she doesn't have any children, and her husband is old. You know, there's one other woman that I can think of right now that she had no children, but she desired it, and that was Hannah. And you know, when I take a look at Hannah, you remember what happened with Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1? She was always under the scrutiny of Penuel. If you were as godly as I am, you would have lots of kids. If you were as godly as I am, you would have this or you would have that. But Hannah, in her own rejoicing, if you will, decided to go before the Lord. And she went to her husband first. And I love what Elkanah had to say to her. Am I not better under thee than 10 sons? Gentlemen, let me just tell you something. We will never replace what children can bring into the heart of a woman. One of the things that I recall as a boy, my mother and my father, they loved us boys. I mean, we were always into something. Greg and I were very close in age, always about the same stature and height and everything. And we're always picking on each other. Then Dennis came along, we figured out how he could be a part of our conniptions. But anyway, we had this as well. Well, one day it was announced to us that we were going to have a baby in the family. That was back before we had all the MRIs to tell what the sex of the child was going to be or anything else. And I remember Mom was very excited as well. But it was during that time that she lost her grandmother. Mom was there for her grandmother during that time, all through the summer.
And then she lost her, she also lost her another relative, and mom was there. And all during that period, I noticed that her ankles, she kept talking about how much swelling she had that was occurring in her feet. There was so much pressure that one day mom woke up and the baby had died in her womb. That's all we knew as kids. I never saw my dad, you know, cry. I never saw mom shed a tear. I don't know what they did in the hospital scene, but they had to go to the hospital. You see, it was a hard time because there used to be a place called Omar Bakery. Some of you might remember that. They would have door-to-door bread delivery and things like that. Well, they had closed their doors, but being accused of monopoly. Dad had no income. And Dad struggled. But even then, it was shielded from us boys, you know, the struggles that Mom and Dad had. And I remember over in the town of Colton, off 64, Dad taking a pick and digging my brother's grave. That was hard. And that old cold slag cemetery, Dad was digging the grave. He could just barely afford the coffin. The pastor, I remember, was there, and he preached the sermon. And they laid my brother in the grave, and it devastated me, but I never saw my mom and dad break down. The first clue that I ever had that mom and dad were struggling was one, it was a cold fall morning. And we were sitting at the table, mom and I, and she looked out across the way, and there was a little girl running around barefoot, no jacket on, no short dress, and snow blowing. And the only question she asked me was, why? Why would God take my baby that I want? And a baby like this that nobody wants is allowed to live. When you're 12 years of age, you don't have an answer. But I remember the question. You see, the heart of the mother is what I read with this Shulamite woman. I don't know her name, do you? And you know, she's mentioned throughout this book of 2 Kings, how that later on you're going to find after Gehazi had been filled with leprosy, that he stood before the king and he makes mention of her and she approaches the throne. The fact of the matter is, she had a heart, but she was keeping things to herself. And in verse 16, we find the prophet saying to her, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. Now, we might look at it and say, what do you mean, lie? She didn't want to be deceived. You say you're a man of God. Don't deceive me. Don't tell me something that is in my heart that I want, and don't deceive me. There's been so many preachers that they have turned around and they have made a statement, lighthearted or whatever, and it sounds like a joke. And yet, when they make this statement, they don't realize that they're holding the emotions of someone in their hand. Especially a woman. God made women in a very special way because a woman is an emotional creature. Men are physical creatures. But if you ever take a woman, everything you say has a part of her thinking. You know, there's an interesting person that does counseling, and his name is Mark Gungor. And Mark Gungor says the reason women can remember everything that comes out of a man's mouth is because it's attached to an emotion. And men, you know that's true. You kill a big buck, and there's a euphoria that is there. You will never forget that buck you killed. You won't remember all the does you killed, but you'll remember the buck you killed. You have an euphoria, which is an emotion that attaches. Women have a tendency of having emotions all over. And this woman is saying, this is the heart's desire that I have to have a child. Don't tell me something unless there's a truth behind it. lo and behold, just as the prophet said, she has this child. Now, I want to ask you this question. How many of us really expect the blessings from God, and not because this is what the world says, but we know that God is in it? Hold your place here for a moment. Let's go to the book of Philippians. Now, I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. If I tell you Philippians 4, you probably already know I'm going to go down to verse 13. But I want you to look at the rest of this, if you will, Philippians 4, and let's go down beginning at verse 10. We love to quote verse 13, but how many of us know verse 10 very well? Verse 10 says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lack opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things. I know how to be hungry. I know how to flourish. I know how to do all these things. But do I know how to have confidence in the Lord?" The thing that I find about the Shulamite woman, she had confidence in the Lord. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." And here's the thing that I find about the Shulamite woman. She knew that the man of God had a child. And when the child was going to be stripped from her, she also needed to go to. Now, number one, that means that all men and women of God should have outstanding integrity. I find too often that people want to look and to examine each other and saying, "What sins do you have in your life? Why did we lose the baby? Why do we have this? Why is that? Why is the other?" Instead of sitting there saying, "I feel your grief, but God is great. Listen to me. I feel your grief, but God is great." The hardest time in my life, and I'll admit this, was when my dad's coffin was right here. And I got to preach the funeral of my father. That was hard for me. But as sure as he laid in that coffin, my joy is that someday I shall go be with my Lord, and there I have confidence I shall see my father. And my mother, and my brother, and anyone else who has gone before me that knows Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Just the last couple of weeks, Brother Willard Pyle passed away. He was my pastor. I can't wait to see Brother Willard, not in that broken down, feeble condition, but in the joy of the Lord in his full strength. Hallelujah. I can't wait to see Brother James Hobbs, who's also gone home to be with the Lord, and just be able to talk with him. But more than anything, I want to be with Jesus. At this moment, this woman is feeling the emotional grief of losing the son that she loved so dearly, but she trusted in the Lord. As I look at this message today, I know this, is that many times we don't think about how that I should trust in the Lord, but the one thing that is beautiful is that we understand the joy that occurs. Verse 17 in the same passage says, "And the woman conceived and bare a son at the season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life." Now, here's the thing that was amazing. Her husband was already past age. Maybe he had already lost sexual interest. I don't know what was going on. Oh, I used that three-letter word. Six. So, sexual interest. I don't know what happened to him. But the reality is, she has a baby. And the next thing we find is many years, I can say later, verse 18, "And when the child was grown..." That means he's already passed reading. He's already growing in the field with his father. And the reality is his father is there and he's enjoying the hard work. His father is a businessman. His father is a farmer. And notice that he was out where the little boy wanted to be with his dad. And he was there watching the reapers. They were watching the grains come in. And his father was excited about all that was going on. And he said to his father, "My head, my head." I was a young boy, probably third or fourth grade. Most of you all know Harry Bommer. And I remember that at that time, Harry and his family lived in the Burlington area. And his son came home from school and he goes, "I have such a terrible headache." And before they could get him to the emergency room, he died. I remember Harry dealing with that. This is a real situation. Now, everybody in their grandmother says, "Oh, there wasn't enough faith in Brother Harry to go in and lay his hands on his child." I don't know all the circumstances, and neither do you, so stop judging. But the reality is that we don't know why God took the life of this young boy. The reality is that when this young man had this headache that occurred, there was no medical physician that they could have done anything. No one. And it said, and the man who was there said, "Carry the lad to his mother. Let her take care of him." This shows me the second element of motherhood, the love that is cared for the child and the parent. Whenever there's a baby wants to call, when they're not feeling well, where do they want to go? Not to dad. Not normally. They want to call into the arms of the mother. "Call me, Mom." And all the rest of the time, they may want to be with dad. This little boy wanted to be with dad. But then, when he came to mother, look at verse 20. "And when she had taken him and brought him into the mother, he sat on her knees till the noon and then died." Is that not what we would expect out of a mother? And what did the mother do? Did she wail? Did she complain? Did she cry out? I don't understand. No, she said, "Take the baby and put him up in the prophet's chamber. Lay him on the bed of the prophet. I got a journey to make." And as quickly as she could arrange it, she made sure that there was a way for her to make it all the way over to the prophet. And she got there. Elisha saw her coming. He said, "Is that not the Shulamite woman? Go find out what's going on, Gehazi." And Gehazi went over there and he asked, "Is everything okay with your husband? Everything okay with you? Everything okay with the child?" "Yes, everything's okay. I'm here to see the prophet." And when she came to the prophet, she fell. What? You know, one of the things that happens, people want to see your faith in such a living way, in such a powerful way that they know that you are. And the thing that was so beautiful is she trusted in the prophet. Now, I could go on into more detail, but I love what the prophet said when Gehazi started to beat on the woman. He said, "Leave her alone. She's here because she's grieving. I know, and God..." How many times have you ever had a grief laid upon your heart over someone that you don't even know about? How many times have you ever woken up in the night and you thought, I need to pray for so-and-so because I don't know why, but I just feel like they're in danger. God lays those things upon your heart for a particular reason. This woman, knew that Elisha could give an answer.
And she had confidence that he could give an answer. I've had people come up to me and say, why did God not give me children? I don't know.
And that is an answer. But God is a perfect God. And he knew that there would be something in your life that would prevent you. In fact, let me ask you this. How many of us would have wanted children only to watch child after child die in childbirth? Could we handle it? Would that not be a grief? I could say much more on that. And I'm tempted to, but I won't. I will say this about my grandmother, Prater. She had 10 sons and laid 5 of them to rest in graves. How did she do it? How did she do it? When I was also at Main Street Baptist, he had a young family. Her name was Sharon and Joe. I led them both to the Lord, baptized them both. Sister Sharon lost her first baby. And her second baby she lost almost at the 8th month when her father-in-law pushed her against the fence and so traumatized her that it killed the baby in her womb. An 8-month carriage. And then, before she would ever have another child, her brother was killed in a car wreck. And she called me. She said, can you come? All the way up in the Cincinnati area. And I arrived there, and as soon as I opened the car door, she came running, and as soon as she saw me, and she goes, why is God doing this? Why is God doing this? How many of you have ever heard this statement, God will never put more on you than you can bear? It's not true. Sometimes He'll put on you everything that you will bear to the cross. And I told Sharon, I said, do you remember Romans 8:28? She said, yes, and I love that verse. But how does that pertain now? I said, Sharon, I want you to hold on to that verse right now. All these things that are happening are for good. They're for good. Because you are loved of God. And you love God according to His purpose. And God's going to bless. You see, I can't use that verse when somebody has not been familiar with it. But I can use Romans 8:28 when somebody knows it for certain. And Sharon and Joe now have 3 boys. Joe served in the military, I think he was with National Guard. And he's one of those men that came back and his boys were all playing basketball and he snuck into the gymnasium. And he's one of those that surprised the boys, and as soon as they recognized it as their dad, they jumped off the bleachers and about killed Joe. And if I have opportunity to see Sharon, I said, does Romans 8:28 apply? The prophet didn't know why God had done this, but her faith was made secure. When Elisha came in and he closed the door, he laid himself out upon the child. When the child became warm, it says that Elisha got up and he walked the room to and fro. I have no doubt he was praying. And laid himself upon the child again, and the child coughed. He said, now go call a Shulamite woman. And you know who he said to call a Shulamite woman to? Gehazi. And after all that Gehazi went through, even though he went after the garments of the captain of the guard, later on he would stand before the priest and recount all that Elisha had done for this woman. And in the outer court was the woman who needed the king's help. Why was this plan for God? Because God was going to do something great later on. I know it's somewhat convoluted from the things that I've said today, but understand this. Motherhood begins with a proper womanhood. And a proper womanhood always begins when women are dedicated first and foremost to God. I want to say thank you to all of our mothers. And my next joy that will happen is when I hear certain mothers say, "My child has received Christ as her Lord and Savior." Will you rejoice with me? So happy Mother's Day to one and all, and I pray that this message will be a help. Father, again, I thank you for your blessings today. And as we conclude in this service, I ask that you will guide and keep and direct in all things. Thank you again for the godly women that we have with us. And I pray, Father, that you will just continue to help and bless them. For it's in Christ we pray. And amen. Brother, if you will come forward and lead us, Brother Randy, in the song.